This message is about a topic that is so important to Yahweh that he will use the message today in evaluating you whether or not you become a child in his eternal family. It's about bearing fruit. Think about a fruit tree. Maybe an apple tree. An apple tree? Yeah. Apple. Okay. How many seeds does it take to start a fruit tree?
One.
One seed. One little seed. They're not very big. And when it grows up, what is the tree made of? I'm not counting the air and whatever's in the air, but what is a tree made of?
Leaves.
Hmm?
Leaves.
It's got leaves. It's got wood. And apples, maybe. But what is the wood made of? Dirt, water, and sunshine. That's about all the tree has to work with, besides whatever's in the air. And the apples, what are the apples made of? Dirt, water, and sunshine. Are they good? Mm-hmm. Yum, yum. And what do we do with that fruit? We eat it, enjoy it, and we may save the seeds. More apple trees. Johnny Appleseed used to go around the country when the country was young, and he would bring apples with him, and when he ate an apple, he would save the seeds. And he'd go around and give these seeds and away to people who had land and tell them how to plant the seed and make sure to water it when it's starting out and how to take care of the tree and save the seeds from the apples. You can have more apple trees. It's a wonderful thing. So, these apple trees are not the only things that have seeds. Garden plants, beans have seeds, tomatoes have seeds, peaches have seeds, bigger than apple seeds. And even animals have seeds, so to speak. When you have lambs, you're liable to, or sheep, when you have sheep, you're liable to have lambs if you have a ram and ewes. And chickens lay eggs. That's kind of the chicken seed. And cattle also have calves. And Yahweh has created this system of seeds to get things growing. And what was the first thing Yahweh said to Adam and Eve? We find it in Genesis 1, verse 27. Verse 26 is where Yahweh says, let us make man in our image. And then in verse 27, so Yahweh created man in his own image. In the image of Elohim, he created him. Male and female, he created them. In verse 28 of Genesis 1, then Elohim blessed them, and Elohim said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Interesting that Yahweh would say that. The first thing that's recorded that he said to the man, go, make babies. That's why you are here. Love one another and make babies. Show them by example what love means. That the father and mother love one another every day. And they hug and kiss one another in front of their children, and they're good to one another in front of their children, so that the children will learn what love means, and that the children will learn to obey their parents, and they'll learn from their parents they have to obey Yahweh. And there are many wonderful things that Yahweh has given us. They say there are 613 commands just in the first five books, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And those commands are for our good. They're a blessing to us. The ones that say, do this, and the ones that say, don't do that. So if you planted an apple tree, you might tell it, be fruitful. And it would not be out of order to ask the apple tree, multiply, and then save the seeds and plant them, and you can have a grove of apple trees. Okay. We've been speaking about different things that have seed, and one of those is grain. We plant wheat seed if we want to have wheat and flour, bread, eventually. And Yahweh told a story about that. Yahshua told a story about that. Do you have ears? Ears to hear spiritually? We hope so. Here's a place where Yahshua gives a special alert to people with ears. It's in Matthew 13. Matthew 13, it begins right at the beginning of the chapter, but we'll drop down to verse 3. Then Yahshua spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places, where they did not have much earth. And they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. They were right near the surface, so they sprouted right away. But when the sun was up, they were scorched. And because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, so that one seed of wheat would yield 100 more seeds of wheat, some 60 and some 30. Even 30 seeds of wheat is not a bad return from one wheat seed. This is a parable about people, you and me. Yahshua is not concerned about grain sowed in a field or by a path. He's concerned with human beings who have Yahweh's word sown in their heart. In verses 19 through 23 of Matthew 13, Yahshua explains all that. We'll drop down to verse 23, Matthew 13, 23. But he that received the seed in the good ground is he that hears the word and understands it, which also bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. We find that parable in Luke also. I'll just read this one verse from Luke 8:15. And that on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, retain it and bear fruit with endurance. So this is fruit. The wheat seed is fruit, and you plant it, and ideally you get more fruit. Just as the seed of Yahweh's truth was sown into your heart, that seed is intended to grow within you and bear fruit. The fruit it bears is seeds that can be planted in the hearts of others and grow there. Should we be looking for those folks who measure up to our idea of what Yahweh is looking for? good, loving, righteous folks who can fit in well with our congregation. Joshua dealt with that issue too. It's in Matthew 9, and we'll begin at verse 11, Matthew 9, 11. And when the Pharisees saw it, what he'd been doing, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with publicans and sinners?" Now, publicans were tax collectors. They had an office from Rome, and they got to keep a certain percentage of the tax, and they did. And they would have a Roman soldier to walk around with them and collect, make sure they didn't miss anything they should have. Publicans and sinners, and we have some record of Joshua speaking with sinners. But when Joshua heard that, he said to the disciples, "They that are whole do not need a physician, but they that are sick. But you go and learn what this means. I will have mercy and not sacrifice, for I have come to call the righteous. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." So Joshua gave them a special home study project. Figure out the meaning of "I desire mercy and not sacrifice." Joshua was running a school. Disciple means student. Okay? And he assigned a home study project. He said, "Go. We're not going to cover this in class, but you go and look into this and figure out what this means." And I'll read the passage from the Old Testament. It's in Hosea 6:6. It says, "For I desire mercy and not sacrifice, the knowledge of Elohim more than burnt offerings." So as we think about this teaching of Joshua's, we might consider that someone is in a better position to want to get cleaned up if they've been crawling through the mud and muck of sin, rather than if they think they are in a nice, clean vehicle riding high above all that. He wants to call sinners to repentance. Being a sinner, a repentant sinner, is almost a requirement for Joshua. Yes. He doesn't necessarily want to call those who think they are righteous. He wants to call those of us who know they are sinners and help them with that problem. It is a problem, isn't it? So what does Yahweh mean when he says that in Hosea 6? I think he means that us showing love to every other person is much more pleasing to him than that religion thing that we sometimes do. Everyone, every adult, every child, every male, every female needs love. And that's our job, part of our job, you might say. Let's see how Joshua relates this love to salvation. We'll go to Matthew 25. And the beginning of that chapter is the parable of the 10 virgins. And in verse 31 begins what we want to talk about. Matthew 25, 31 to the end of the chapter. "When the son of Adam comes in his esteem, and all the set apart messengers with him, then he shall sit on the throne of his esteem, and all the nations shall be gathered before him, and he shall separate the one from the other as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left hand." "Then the sovereign shall say to those on his right hand, 'Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. Sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then the righteous shall answer him, saying, Master, when did we see you hungry or and fed you, or thirsty and gave you a drink? And when did we see you a stranger and took you in, or naked and clothed you? When did we see you sick or in prison and we came to you? We don't understand this. And the sovereign shall answer and say to them, Truly I say to you, insofar as you did it to the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. He shall then say to those on the left hand, Go away from me, cursed ones, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his messengers. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not take me in, and was naked, and you did not clothe me, sick and in prison, and you didn't even visit me. Then they also shall answer him, saying, Master, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked and sick or in prison and did not serve you? And he shall answer them, saying, Truly I say to you, insofar as you did not do it to the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into everlasting life. Now, the everlasting punishment was fire that will destroy them immediately. Hot fire. And so they won't be suffering for eternity in some fictional hell that they've made up. They will be destroyed. I've got some experience in the electronics industry, and we use integrated circuits. They're made on little wafers of silicon that are processed in different ways, and each little bit of silicon wafer becomes an integrated circuit with many transistors on it and other electronic components. And they work on a basis of a good yield. That wafer may have, well, let's say a couple of hundred little individual chips on it. And they cut them apart and test them. And when they test them, they get a yield. Now, in the early days of the business, they would get a low yield. They might get 15 or 20 out of those 200 chips. And that was okay. They just threw the rest of them away and made more. Now they have better yields, I think, but they always have some failures in the chip, in the wafer. And they just throw the bad ones away. And they keep the good ones. And that's what Yahweh does with us. If we're not obedient and loving and humble, then we're part of that that's not needed. But he made mankind so that there would eventually be billions of us, and he's going to take the good yield, and the rest are expendable, and they will be burned up. In this story about the sheep and the goats, you'll notice there's nothing about religion in this passage of Matthew. No sacred names, no Sabbath, high days, Bible reading, or prayer. Just being kind and helpful to those who are down. That is the whole story of bearing fruit. Now, those other things are important. I feel that the Sabbath, the sacred names, the high days, Bible reading, and prayer are very vitally important to us. But what Yahshua is looking for, what Yahweh is looking for, as he said in Genesis 1:28, is for us to go forth and yield fruit. Be fruitful and multiply, he said. In Matthew 5:45, Yahshua said, that you may be children of your Father who is in heaven, for he makes the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. Does he send rain on the unjust so fruit can be born? I think so. Even an unjust person might think about how the rain comes to his field. I think Yahweh hopes that the unjust farmer will decide to be good to others because he sees that Yahweh is better to him than he deserves. We need to take Yahweh's example in another way also. He made his only son, Yahshua, to rise from the dead for the unjust. Never mind about the just, righteous ones among us. And when we're compared to Yahshua, our example, there really aren't any glorious, righteous ones, are there? Here's another parable about some seed that we might say fell on good ground. It's part of what Yahshua told the disciples on his last night. In this parable, the grapevine nurtures the fruit branch. Sometimes that is our job in some way. It's in John 15, and we'll begin at verse 1. John 15:1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. So the vine dresser comes and takes off the vine anything that's going to use up the energy of the vine that's giving it out, and takes those things away and throws them in the pile to dry up and be burned later. And the good ones, it's bearing fruit, he leaves and bear more fruit. You are already clean or pruned of unbearing elements. That's what he means by clean. It didn't mean scripturally pure. It means you've been pruned because of the word that I have spoken to you. All that Yahshua had taught them was to make them fruitful. It was like his teaching words were pruning them, taking out the untrue and unfruitful parts and shaping up the parts that could be fruitful, correcting any false beliefs and filling them with Yahweh's truth. We need to stay together with Yahshua. He tells his disciples that if they keep a close relationship with him, then he will enable them to become fruitful. And I'm sure that goes for us as it did for the disciples. Verse 4 of John 15, stay in me and I stay in you. As the branch is unable to bear fruit of itself unless it stays in the vine, so neither can you unless you stay in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who stays in me and I in him, he bears much fruit, he or she, you might say, because without me you are able to do nothing. Nothing. Stay in Yahshua so you can bear fruit. It's his command, and he makes it clear how much we can accomplish without him. Nothing. Okay, we need to understand. Okay, that's a pretty big scripture. Without me, you are able to do nothing. But here's a really big one. Verse 6 of John 15. If anyone does not stay in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. And we just talked about that. They're not part of the yield that bears good fruit. If you stay in me and my words stay in you, you shall ask whatever you wish for the purpose of bearing fruit, and it shall be done for you. And that's my addition, that for the purpose of bearing fruit. That's not what is recorded as Yahshua saying. But I think we need to understand that we must have a single-minded devotion to Yahweh and his work. There's nothing more important in our lives. Verse 8. In this my Father is esteemed, that you bear much fruit, and you shall be my taught ones. As the Father has loved me, I also have loved you. Stay in my love. Make that your home, in Yahshua's love. Stay there with Yahshua's love. In John 13:34, just two chapters back, he said, I give you a new commandment, that you love one another the way I have loved you. And he made a point of showing them that he loved the disciples, and he loved everyone else too. He would go to thousands of people, crowds would come to him because they knew that he would heal them if they needed it. And if they didn't need physical healing, he had the words of life that would heal them spiritually. Okay, and that was valuable to them. We're not with Yahshua for loaves and fishes, like some people came to his preaching. We are here to learn from his love, which he got from the Father. John 15, verse 16, we're dropping down a few verses. John 15:16, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, so that whatever you ask, and ask the Father in my name, that's with my authority, he might give you. So what is Yahshua talking about when he mentions bearing fruit? What is this world and what is mankind, starting with Adam, all about? Why are we here? What did he tell Adam? Genesis 1, 27 and 28. Go, bear fruit, multiply. We are here so that we, many of us, can be there in Yahweh's family as his children forever. Luke 12:32 is a very encouraging scripture. Luke 12:32, fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's delight to give you the kingdom. He wants us there. All this earth, this beautiful earth, did not come easily. It's recorded that after the 6 days of creation, Yahweh rested and created the Sabbath day, because he knew that after 6 days it would be enough for man and they'd need a rest. So he created the Sabbath day as a gift for us. Yahshua did that. And it was a good gift. Look at Malachi 2. We're going to look at Malachi 2:15. In Malachi 2, Yahweh is talking through the prophet about the covenant between a man and his wife. and another kind of fruit. And this you have, Malachi 2:13, this you have done a second time. You cover the altar of Yahweh with tears, with weeping and crying, because he no longer regards your offering nor receives it with pleasure from your hands. And you say, why? Because Yahweh has been witness between you and the wife of your youth, against whom you have acted treacherously, though she is your companion and the wife of your covenant. The marriage ceremony is a covenant-creating ceremony. It creates a covenant between the man and the woman that cannot be broken except through death. Now, there are exceptions to that, but it's intended to last the rest of their lives. And through that covenant, we have a family. Because Yahweh saw the treachery in some men's hearts, he said this to them. You ask why, verse 14 of Malachi 2. You ask why? Because Yahweh has been a witness between you and the wife of your youth, against whom you have acted treacherously, though she is your companion, and a wife is a good companion. I've heard before that there's no greater blessing on the earth than to have a good marriage. It's a valuable blessing for each of us. Now, he's not implying that you specifically, you personally, have dealt badly with your wife, only that it is common in your culture, and it is common in our culture. If the shoe fits, in your particular case, wear it, even though it'll pinch a little. Verse 15 of Malachi 2, and this is from the New King James Version. He did not make them one, and in the Greek, that one is echad, or is taken from echad. He seeks offspring devoted to Elohim. Therefore, take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously with the wife of his youth. Now, this word echad is a common Hebrew word. It means one, the number one, and it also means unity. Where two or more are in unity. We see it in Deuteronomy 6:4. The Hebrew is Shema Yisrael, Yahweh Eloheinu, Yahweh Echad. Translated to English, that is, pay attention, Israel. Yahweh our Elohim, Yahweh is in unity. Now, the Jews like to quote that as Yahweh is one. There's only one Yahweh, but there are two personalities that are Yahweh, the Father and the Son. So, in Genesis 2:21-24, we read Genesis 2:21. Yahweh Elohim caused a deep sleep to fall on the man, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. And the rib which Yahweh Elohim had taken from the man, he made into a woman. And he brought her to the man. And the man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. This one is called woman, because she was taken out of man. For this cause a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." And that word one there is echad. So this doesn't mean that when a man and woman marry that there's only one of them now. No man, no woman, just one. It means that they are intended to be joined together, and that they are intended to think like one another and to work together. Adam can still go this way and Eve can go that way if they have something to do there, and then they come back together. And that's what this means when it says echad. And the same is with, true with Elohim. The Father can remain in heaven. The Son comes down to the earth, puts on this flesh suit, and does what needs to be done for us. So Yahweh presented the woman to the man, and okay, and that's what he said about her. And I think he probably said, "Oh, wow, for me?" And Yahweh may have said, "Yes, young man, and you seem to know a lot for someone who's only a few days old." And we'll look at this scripture from Malachi 2:15 again in the Institute for Scriptural Research translation. "And did he not make them one?" In other words, echad. "And he had the remnant of the spirit." What is the one about? One alone. And what is the one alone? "He seeks a seed of Elohim. Thus, be fruitful." Right? So he seeks a seed of Elohim. "So you shall guard your spirit, and let none deal treacherously against the wife of his youth," the wife of his covenant. We've made a covenant with the wife, and we must deal with her according to that covenant. And because of the children, that's why we have to deal that way. Because the children need that example. They need the security of mom and dad loving one another. So they'll never have to be children of divorce. Something like that would be very unstabilizing for the little children. "You shall guard your spirit." And that indicates that a guardian will be placed on my spirit, that I will protect it from dishonoring my wife, whatever the case may be, that I will stand there with a sword, with a rifle, whatever's necessary to protect my spirit from being dishonorable to my wife. It's a good thing. Like I said, there's no greater blessing on this earth than a good marriage. We'll quote Malachi 2:15 one more time. This is from the Complete Jewish Bible. It says, "And hasn't he made them one flesh in order to have seed of Elohim? For what he, Elohim, seeks is a seed of Elohim. Therefore, take heed to your spirit and don't break faith with the wife of your youth." That is surely one type of fruit that Yahweh expects from us. Our well-taught, well-loved children who should become children in his own eternal family. Let's look at another meaning. It's in 1 Corinthians 4:15. "For though you have 10,000 instructors," Paul writes, "in the Messiah, yet you do not have many fathers. For in the Messiah, Yahshua, I have begotten you through the good news." Okay, what's the good news? The good news is that we have the ability to become children in Yahweh's family. So Paul preached that and started the congregation that way. He planted the seeds of that congregation. Let's read in 1 Corinthians 3, verses 5 to 9. 1 Corinthians 3, 5 to 9. Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers, and that word minister means servant, through whom you believed, as the Master gave to each one. I planted, Apollos watered, but Elohim gave the increase, so that neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but Yahweh who gives the increase. Now he who plants and he who waters are one. They're working together. They're echad. Each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are Yahweh's fellow workers. You are Yahweh's field. You are Yahweh's building. When someone planted the apple seeds or the wheat seeds, the fruit they expected was what they planted, apples or wheat. Whatever that person planted, he expected to reap. And we see that in Galatians 6, verse 7 to 9. Do not be deceived. Elohim is not mocked. For whatever a person sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. For in due season we shall reap, if we do not lose heart. Ephesians 4:12. We'll start with Ephesians 4:11. He himself gave some as adversaries, and some as prophets, some as evangelists, and some as shepherds and teachers, for the perfecting of the set apart ones, for the work of service, to a building up of the body of the Messiah. And the congregation is part of the body of the Messiah. We should not think that the preacher who gives a good encouraging message is doing it under his own steam. No. It's by staying close to Yahshua the Messiah that we can do anything to nurture someone in the Messiah. Remember Yahshua's message in John 15. Remain in the vine to bear fruit. Yahweh really does give the increase. Abba Yahweh and Yahshua supply any good in a message or counseling. Yahweh and Yahshua draw converts and growing people, you and me, to them. They empower those converts by Yahweh's Ruach HaKodesh to change and grow to be more like Yahshua. He said, you shall bear greater fruit than I've borne. And the reason we can bear greater fruit than Yahshua is because he has sent the Ruach HaKodesh, what is called the Holy Spirit, into your hearts so that you can grow beyond what Yahshua did. He certainly taught his disciples and probably imparted a little bit of his spirit to them. But the Ruach HaKodesh didn't really come until after Yahshua was sacrificed. We should not think that the... I did that already. Okay, brothers, sisters, we come here to make some changes and to grow. As someone said, if we don't make some changes, we're going to end up right where we're headed. And, you know, a lot of us were headed for the lake of fire, but we hope to make some changes. When Yahweh causes a word to be planted in us, he expects the same fruit, the same word planted in others. Someone, by the direction of Yahweh's Spirit, planted the word in you. In James 1:21, we read, "Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls." So here, the apostle is telling us that the word was planted in us, in this physical body, so that it could bear spiritual fruit, and by that, be planted in others. Now it's our responsibility to allow Yahweh to use us to plant some seeds in others, and maybe for some to water and cultivate to stimulate growth. Drop a word. Encourage someone. And most important, be an example of humility, patient love, and kindness. Let me repeat that. Most important, be an example of humility, patient love, and kindness. Ask the question that they may not know to ask, and certainly can't answer yet. Tell them how the answer is found in Yahshua's love. Plant another seed. What we are going to do with what are we going to do with what we have received at this Feast of Tabernacles? That's the big question. There will be a handout coming. I didn't print it out yet, but it's coming this afternoon, at the service this afternoon, that may help you to have some scriptures in your library and have some questions about what a pastor might find in the Bible and be able to help a person with. Okay. You might put your books aside, because there's just one more scripture. Remember what Yahshua said, "Be fruitful, or be cast out as a branch and burned." That was in John 15:6.